All right, so we did the smack off portion of the program. That does not mean, though, that you are done, right? I just gave you some player profiles. Now it is your chance to find your way into the field, your chance to react to it, your chance to send a player prediction on video that we can play. All of that still ahead. We come into hour number three. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, you know that Rocket can. Quickly, telephone number is toll-free in the U.S., 1-800-636-8686. A couple hundred affiliates, satellite radio, you know the deal. Also in Canada, and we have Canadian representation trying to work their way in to win the smack off. Of course, you got to break the top 10 in order to win the thing, right? We'll see. As promised, we are joined right now by a reporter for Fox Sports and FS1. He is a national college football insider for The Athletic. He is a New York Times bestselling author. His latest book is Flip the Script with Ed Orgeron. We have a lot to talk to Bruce Feldman about, as always. Bruce, good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jim. Good to be on with you.
Great to have you on. All right, so Bruce, last week, the College Football Playoff Working Group, officially endorsed playoff expansion. There have been talk about expansion for a little bit. What was your reaction when the group endorsed a 12-team playoff?
I think, Jim, what it really is shaping up as here is the biggest power brokers at the table, and that's really Greg Sankey, especially from the SEC, are looking at it saying, you know what? We're going to have one or two teams in the four anyway. Let's see if we can get 4 in 12, maybe even some years, potentially 5 in 12. And so on that end, I think it satisfies the people on the top of the food chain. I also think you have other aspects of this. If you're the commissioner of the Big 12 or the commissioner of the Pac-12, you're like, you know what? We didn't have a seat at the table before. Now, it's not a guarantee our conference champion is going to get in, but there's a much better chance we're not going to get snubbed if our conference champ is ranked number 10 and they're 9-3, or in that case, 10-3 or even 9-4. You're still probably some level of inclusion, because really what's gone on a lot in the last couple of years, Jim, you can hear people talk about Alabama and Clemson fatigue, but I think what has troubled a lot of people inside the sport is that you roll into late October, early November, and a lot of the games that would be seen as marquee games in certain parts of the country feel largely irrelevant unless you're a diehard fan of those particular schools. And this is a way that the people who run the sport of college football are hoping, at least, that they could keep more eyeballs and more people engaged in the sport that has definitely got a lot less engaged in the last couple of years with the playoff as it's taken shape.
I think there's so much really interesting stuff in what you just said, Bruce. Bruce Feldman joining us. Let me just ask you this. Knowing how these things typically go, are you at all surprised by the speed that this is all coming together and how quickly it's taking form?
Not especially, because, look, there's been some chatter about expansion for a while, and I think we're coming out of a pandemic where what you learned was a lot of people would sit and look at the landscape and say, all right, well, we can shuffle this as quickly as needs be. And I think you learned a lot of people could be very reactive if they had to be. But also what you're looking at is there was a major financial hit that people around college athletics took. So how do you work around that? Well, there's a lot of money that is potentially that has been left on the table if you opened up the playoff, not just from 4 to 8, but maybe from 4 to 12. And now the question is going to be, how quickly could they green light this and get it going? I doubt that they can do it any earlier, because they said this in their statement, that it would get to the beginning of 2023. If they hold off a little longer, then they can bring it more to market and try to get even more money out of it. But I think there's a lot of stuff that is happening right now in college athletics, especially. You have NIL, name, image, and likeness, that's coming down the pipeline. You've had a lot of other changes that have been made. So right now, you're seeing new commissioner in the ACC. You have a new commissioner coming in the Pac-12. You just had a new commissioner really getting his feet set in the Big Ten in Kevin Warren. So this is a pretty chaotic time in the sport, especially. And so I think that adds to why there has been such a shift.
We're talking to Bruce Feldman. You know, Bruce, in other sports like, well, for instance, the NBA in particular, there's this sense that having a couple of power teams or dynasties is good. You talked about fatigue, like Alabama fatigue. Is the dominance of Alabama and Clemson good for college football? And if not, how can that be changed?
Long term, I don't think it's great for college football, because I do think there are going to be a lot of people who just, they're tired of seeing the same matchups over and over again. I think take Nick Saban's program, and for what they've done has been unprecedented in an era of scholarship limitations and everything else. It's very different. But then you tack on the Clemson part of it. It's like, I think people, I don't think they want to see this as Lakers Celtics of the 80s. I think they want to see some other programs challenge it. And if you don't see any new blood in there, it starts to feel stale. It is great if you're a fan of Alabama or if you're a fan of Clemson. But if you're not, I think you kind of roll your eyes at this and say, okay, this is the rich getting richer, and this is just how this system is set up. I think there's a lot of people who may not be Oklahoma fans, but they would love to see Lincoln Riley in Oklahoma break through, or just somebody else. I mean, look what happened when LSU, you mentioned the book I did, look what happened when LSU got on that roll with Joe Burrow and Joe Brady, and they put up ridiculous numbers. People got excited about it. It's not because they were big LSU fans, you know, at heart. I think it's just because they got behind new blood and they saw, you know, Joe Burrow light up Nick Saban's defense in Tuscaloosa. And people hadn't seen anything like to that degree on the roll they went on. And then they lit up Clemson. And I think that got people excited because it was different. And so I think people are looking for that a little more now. And that's probably, you know, who knows if we're going to get that in 2021, though.
Bruce Feldman joining us. Different is good. And Joe Burrow special. Let me ask you this, Bruce. For instance, could you see a scenario where the 12th seed actually wins the national title, or is the gap between 12 and 1 just too significant for that to ever happen?
I think it's a big long shot, Jim. I mean, the one example that I look at, and they wouldn't be a 12 seed, they might have been a 10 seed, would have been that USC team like 5 years ago with Sam Darnold's first year as a starter. He did not start the season. Remember, they began the season playing Alabama in Texas. Max Brown was the quarterback. They got lit up. It was like 52-6 or 52-9. And then they struggled. And I think they were 1-3 before Sam Darnold got rolling. But then they went on a run. And, you know, look, you had a really, you know, a tremendous quarterback. You had Juju Smith-Schuster, who was a difference maker at receiver. I don't think they were that good on defense, but they were a dangerous team. I mean, remember, they had a great game against Penn State. No, you know, Saquon Barkley and Trace McSorley in the Rose Bowl. I think they had a puncher's chance of beating anybody by the end of the year. Now, could they have improved by so much to have gotten a rematch with Alabama and won that game? Probably not, but, you know, I think they would have had probably a better chance than almost any other double-digit seed of winning what would be a playoff, because a lot of times I think you're looking at teams that just don't have enough special players to do it, where in that case you have a special quarterback, you definitely had a special receiver, and I think you had pretty good skill guys around it. I just don't know if they had enough on defense to do it.
We're talking to Bruce Feldman for a few more moments. All right, so since I have you, Bruce, before I let you go, shifting to some action on the field, you reached out to a bunch of coaches around the country to talk about the breakout stars for the upcoming season. Who were the names that kept coming up?
Well, there's one that really kind of came out a lot from guys in the Big Ten, and that's Jack Campbell, who's a linebacker from Iowa. Iowa's had really good players there. Josie Jewell, people remember. This was a guy who was expected to start last year, but then had mono and ended up didn't play a ton. The people inside the program are like, he's huge. He's almost 6'5", 245, runs like a deer, as tough as anybody they coach, super high football IQ. That's a guy people rave about. There's a young receiver at Oklahoma, Mario Williams. You know, he may not be quite as straight line fast as Hollywood Brown, but probably quicker. You know, Lincoln Riley is going to be really good at scheming some stuff to get him open. He's one who has a chance, I hear, to be really, really special. Then there was some other names that Zach Charbonnet, people may remember him at Michigan. He's a Southern California kid, running back who decided to transfer back home to UCLA. He's a big back who has really good quickness, who has looked really good this offseason in Chip Kelly's offense. I think he has a chance to really get people's attention, because now all of a sudden they probably have the best offensive line they've had in a long time there. Those were some of the names. I mean, it's just like you would hear certain guys either something, you know, it was almost like their time. DJ James is a cornerback at Oregon. Oregon is an interesting team right now because they have a bunch of guys that Mario Cristobal's recruited, especially on defense, who are five-star guys. People know about Kayvon Thibodeau, the edge rusher, but then you got Noah Sewell and Justin Flo, who are big, huge former five-star guys. But then they got two cornerbacks who are five-star caliber athletes, and DJ James is probably the one that gets most overshadowed. And talking to people up there, they just rave about what kind of athlete they have there. And remember, this is a team that's going to have a big game in Columbus against Ohio State early in the season. And how well a lot of these young players, especially in the back seven, play against Ohio State, which will have a new quarterback. Obviously, no more Justin Fields. It's going to be a very intriguing matchup early in the season.
I can't wait to see that matchup. Bruce Feldman, my guest. Bruce, one last thought, if you don't mind, and it's great to have you back. Another change that's taking place, of course, is the number of players getting into the transfer portal. How are coaches and programs dealing with the new transfer landscape?
It is such a juggling act, because you hear stories from everything about middlemen getting involved. Some guys are shopping players around, and the players don't even know it. I think the hardest part for college coaches is two things. One is you see names in the portal, yet you don't really know what the background or what the situation this player may have had of why they're leaving. You may know a little bit, but I think so. They got to do their due diligence. And then it's like, hey, we really like this player. We really think they could help us. The problem is there isn't enough spaces to take them all, because there are so many guys in the portal, and you still have to juggle a 25-person initial counter with all the high school kids you signed in the winter. So there's going to be a lot of players who had scholarships at FBS Division I programs who are probably not going to have places to land, because there's just not the scholarship availability. So you're going to end up with a lot of players probably left out of scholarships, because maybe they thought, okay, they had this school offered them out of high school, but you know, 2 years later or 3 years later, those offers aren't going to be there, because the schools just don't have that kind of roster flexibility now.
Covering so much ground, he is a reporter for Fox Sports and FS1. He is a National College Football Insider for The Athletic. He is a New York Times bestselling author, and his latest book, of course, Flip the Script with Ed Orgeron. Bruce, great job. Great to have you back. Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure, Jim. Thanks for having me.
You too, Bruce. Great to talk to you. All right. Good stuff. Really good stuff. It sets up like this now. We are open the rest of the way. We have done our interviews. I've got reaction to our player profiles. I've got a way for you to get in if you want. And I've got other topics that I want to get to. 1-800-636-8686. I love tonight's matchup. Nets, Bucks. James Harden may, in fact, give it a go. So he went from out to doubtful to he may, in fact, give it a go. And if so, do you think they can get it done? I want to get into that as well. 1-800-636-8686. And your reaction to the player profiles. Wall Street has been lying out its backside for years, trying to tell you that 7% is a good return on your stocks, but it's not. They also want you to believe that trading is so hard, you need a financial advisor. No, you don't. Because there are real people making real money, 30, 50, even 100% a year on their money trading stocks, even when the market is tough. Carnivore Trading is how they're doing it. Carnivore Trading is an anonymous team of elite Wall Street strategists. They are legends among Wall Street heavy hitters, and now they've gone a bit rogue. What they're doing is they allow everyday folks like you, like me, to see and mirror their explosive trades. Now, if that sounds too good to be true, try it out for yourself. Carnivore will let you see the trades they're making right now for free. Go to GetOurTrades.com. Use the promo code ROME and get a couple of weeks for free. This is how I did it. And if you join, and I did, Carnivore guarantees that you'll get five times your subscription fee or double your money back. Go to GetOurTrades.com, promo code ROME. GetOurTrades.com, promo code ROME. See website for guarantee terms and conditions. Past performance not a guarantee of future earnings.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Next generation of paint protection is still here. It's still new 303 graphene nano spray coating, and it still provides up to 1 year of professional level protection, insane water beating, jaw dropping shine with one simple application. Visit 303radio.com for more information. All right, so my feeling is generally, I mean, there's some things I react to, right? But I'm not going to sit back and react to everything. I'm not going to sit back and generate some fake bullcrap, contrived engagement, interaction. You know, every once in a while, if it's show related, I'll throw a poll up. But I'm not really caught up in that life. Never have been, never will be. So that said, I went scrolling through my Instagram during the break. I don't follow too many people, although you should follow me. But Darius Butler is a guy that I like quite a bit. We've had him on this show a number of times. I liked him as a player. I like him as a guy who's in the space creating content. And he had posted, damn, I still carry a wallet. Nobody carries a wallet anymore, with the eyes emoji. That was in response to Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley went into a Chipotle and forgot his wallet, and it was returned to him. It worked its way back to him, and that was a big thing, and he was very grateful for that, and it elicited this exchange on his show.
I lost my wallet today, Ernie, and Matt Powles, P-Y-L-E-S, I'm hoping I'm saying his name right, he returned it.
Yeah,
he got in touch with TNT and gave me my wallet back. And that was really awesome. I lost it at Chipotle. Yeah. And I didn't even know it.
You still carry a wallet?
Yeah.
Are you like the only person in the world that still carries a wallet?
Wait, nobody carries a wallet but me?
Yeah.
So many questions, right? I think Ernie's question was a very good question. Like, dude, you still carry a wallet? I got a better question. The hell was Chuck doing in Chipotle? So two questions. Do you still carry a wallet? And do you still go to Chipotle? And no, I'm not going to ask you if you pack your own toilet paper on your way into Chipotle. Anyway, so where I come out on this, and again, this to me, I don't want to get caught up in some cheap, contrived, manufactured, I got nothing better to do. Oh, that's the one. Yeah, let's jump on that. That'll light the phone lines up. It's kind of curious, though, right? I have a routine when I come in. What I do when I come in every single day is the same exact thing. I come in and I take the coffee that I've already purchased from Starbucks, and I go into our coffee break area, and then I take the mushroom powder and I put in what's left of my coffee and I shake it up. I come back into my office. Then I take all of my things. I take off my wedding band. I take off my watch because I don't like slamming these things up against my keyboard. And I usually put them back on for the show. You know, cheesy, but I forgot today.
No, you see watch. This watch?
You see his watch? It's in my office. You see this watch? It's in my office. Anyway, I would show you what I have in the way of a wallet or no wallet, but it's all on my desk. I'm not a wallet guy. I have not been a wallet guy for years. Years. Like, I don't remember the last time I used a wallet. I don't remember the last time I owned a wallet. I go bills, credit cards, and essential cards like insurance and AAA. As little as possible. And by the way, off the record, the credit card that I purchase from the drugstore so I can reload my gambling account with, because my actual credit cards won't let me. and all in a rubber band. And that's how I go. I have not been a wallet guy in forever. I have no interest in being wallet guy. I don't even remember the last time I owned a wallet. The only problem with that approach is when the rubber band breaks, and it always will eventually. One, because there's so much bleeping money in it. Notice I'm not going money bill. Johnny Manziel and his crew can relate to that. I got so much bleeping money, I can't hear you. Got so much bleeping money in my bleeping pocket, I can't hear you. I've got so much bleeping money in my bleeping rubber band, I can't hear you. There used to be this company that they would charge a lot of money, actually, for these like really cool-looking, you know, thick black rubber bands I'd go with, and they used to hook me that way. Now I just go to Staples and I buy a gigantic bag of rubber bands. The problem is they break for the reason I mentioned. I've got so much bleeping money putting so much pressure on that bleeping rubber band. And then when that happens, I've had some really embarrassing moments like at the airport where everything just slides across the floor. So I try not to pack too much. But what do I have? I have my credit card. I have my second credit card. I have my fake CVS credit card so I can load my gambling account up. I've got my California driver's license. I've got all my insurance cards in the event that I've got to go. What else? My AAA card. I'm not the handiest dude in the world. Yeah, that's about it. Does it slide out of my pocket when I sit down? No. Not unless the rubber band breaks, and then it all slides out. So the cards are in the rubber band. You take your money, and now this is hard for you, Hawk, to figure out. You take your money, you put it all together, you lay it flat, you put the cards in the money, and then you flip the money over, and you put the rubber band on the money clip. And then every once in a while when I break it out, somebody will be like, hey, yo, OG, you're old school. You got a rubber band. I'm like, right, because I don't want to be a dope with a wallet. Yeah, and I don't know. Just doesn't interest me very much. I want to be money clip guy, but I mean this sincerely. Money clips are not cheap, and they would just bend because I had so much cash in them. And then they're useless because then you can't close them. Then they don't bend back. Anyway, if you want to jump in on that debate, go right ahead. Again, I don't know what's more confusing to me, that my guy Chuck, who I love, doesn't, or that my guy Chuck is a wallet guy or a Chipotle guy. Or that he left his wallet in a Chipotle. Hey, Rome, I'm a man. I don't carry a wallet. I have a front pocket money clip like a real man. Big bills on the outside. Signed, Joel in the ATX. That's how you do it, yo. That's what you do. You know what you do, Joel? You get like, you know this, Joel, because it's what you do. You get 21s, and then you put a 50 on the outside, and you rock that in your front pocket. At Wooden Laconic, these smack-off profiles are getting me pumped. Wore Matt in Van and Tyler in Edmonton taking a tandem moose ride to a Tim Hortons and ordering an iced latte with two straws. So in other words, you took all your me and Marty jokes and you turned them into a Matt and Tyler joke. Do they both have necklaces with a heart cut in half? Did they name a star after each other? I see you working. Hey, Jim. You use a rubber band? That is so low rent. Signed, Money Clip Guy. Hey, Lee. Did you hear what I just said? I wanted to be a Money Clip Guy, but I have too much money to use a money clip. So what it does is it expands. And then what happens is when you start to spend money before you can replenish it, it expands and everything slips out of it and it doesn't stay in. Do you know why that is? Because I have so much money, Lee. That's why. Lee, don't you take that Velcro wallet with the chain and just rock that thing, dude. Come on, man. Hey, Rome, I used to go with a rubber band but I'm a black binder clip guy. Now, Brian on HTX, humble brag much. No, dude, I got a rubber band. It's a dirty, nasty, filthy rubber band. And it will snap soon. Hey, Rome, you're not a wallet guy. A freaking rubber band? Man, that's it. I've been a loyal listener for over 20 years, but now I'm out. You will rue the day you dissed Team Wallet. War low-profile wallets that hold a few cards and have a magnetic clip on them. Jason in Louisville. You know what else we're getting into now? There's wallet iPhone case guy. All right, so there's wallet guy and there's wallet case guy. If you're looking at me right now, iPhone 12 Pro Max X, no case. No case. I've tried the other just because I'm all about accessories. I hate that life, man. That thing, people are like, hey, it's awesome. I got a case and a wallet all in one. Yeah, but it's like as thick as a dictionary. That's not going to fit in your pocket. And by the way, you know what that is? That whole thing about how I have everything in one place at one time? Right. And that's how you lose the two most important things in your life at one time. Your phone and your wallet. You know how some people won't travel together? Do you know people like that? Do you know couples, parents, that will not get on a plane together for the sake of their kids? Have you ever heard that story? I know a couple people that do that. They will not travel together in the event that the plane goes down and they don't want their kids to be parentless. Seriously. I think that's a bit extreme. I tend to look at it another way. I don't combine my wallet and my phone because I don't want both of them going down at once and having neither. Yeah, no, Janet and I fly together. If that thing goes down, Logs, you're on your own, kid. I mean, I've set you up, kind of, sort of. Romy, Jake will be fine. Trust me, Jake's already fine. Jake's living the good life in Madison. Romy, we lose our wallet every time we go out to eat. Regards, Five Guys customers, Ashley in Nebraska. Now, I want to go back to that wallet case thing. That wallet case thing. Here's the other thing about the wallet case for the iPhone. Some of them have removable phone cases and some don't. You see me working? So that way they get really cute about it where you can carry the case. Like the case goes in magnetically. You pull it out and then you can leave the wallet wherever you want to leave the wallet without having to drag ass with that wallet. But some are stuck in there. Polly and Indy. I used to roll with a rubber band, but now I go with a scrunchie. Signed, Man Bun Guy. Now we're talking. That's what I'm saying. That made it better. That made it better. Hey, Rit, you know that life. No, you don't. You're bald, dude. Scrunchie. Can you imagine wrapping your junk up with a scrunchie? Yeah, I said it. Yeah, no, I use rubber bands, not scrunchies. Hey, Rome, one credit card, Costco card, concealed carry permit, driver's license, minimal cash in a slightly bigger Ziploc bag. Keeps it dry in the old cycling jersey. Brad in the 360 cycling degenerate. Attaboy. You know what I love? I love cycling degenerate is still here. And now we come to find out, homeboy's packing heat. A permit for what, brah? Hey, Brad, I don't want to get like really off the beaten path, but were you not the guy who said that the UFC is too violent for your taste? But you have a carry permit. You're packing. But the UFC is too violent. I'm not saying that you don't have a right to pack or carry. If you have a carry permit and you're doing it responsibly, I'm not against that necessarily. I just didn't expect to hear that from you. I didn't expect the guy who made all these waves by talking about how, man, MMA is just way too violent. now telling me that he's got a plastic bag for his carry permit. Bro, what are you carrying? A Glock? A popsicle stick? Like, what do you got, man? A pen? Did you break a pen and jam it into some guy's neck? And how did we get here from wallet talk? Hey, Rome, who the hell doesn't carry a wallet? Regards, printed MapQuest directions. Dude, I can't lie. I did that not long ago. I was still doing that probably a few years ago. I can't lie to you, man. The problem is when you printed it with pics, they were like 14 pages long. I don't know if you know this about me. Like, I'm known for a lot of things. You're like, yeah, Rome, best guy ever, worst guy ever, great host, D-bag, whatever you want. I don't know if you know this about me. First of all, that D-bag stuff's not true. I'm awesome. Dude, my sense of direction's horrible, man. Like, I'm the guy that can go someplace five times and still not know how to get there. For whatever reason, that part of my brain just does not really work well. There are parts of my brain that work brilliantly. That's not one of them. So I was the guy that would print that out. I was the guy that would have the 20 pages of notes to find the local fries or whatever. Hey, Rome, the good rubber bands are like those giant purple ones that hold bunches of broccoli and asparagus. Those will last for a year. Francis and Glendale. Dude, that's true. But then, they're stronger than pretty much anything, right? The problem with that is I don't want my money and everything in my pocket smelling like asparagus and broccoli. But you're right, though. Those things are industrial, yo. Those are like zip ties. Jimmy, I have not been a wallet guy for years either. Thanks, Richard Gere. Okay, like, I don't even know what that means. I'm going to end the segment on that because I don't even know what that means. Chris in Milwaukee. Anyway, nothing against my guy Chuck, who might be my favorite guy in the history of sports. I am not a wallet guy. Got my stuff in a rubber band. All right, when we come back, who knows, right? Something good. Trust that. Something good. All right, so I'm pretty emphatic. I'm pretty emphatic about my rubber band usage. And that I don't need a wallet. And I don't want a wallet. And I don't own a wallet. And if somebody gave me a wallet for Father's Day, for instance, I'd return it. And I don't return anything. I just don't need a wallet. I don't want a wallet. Or so I thought. This is the thing about me, the beauty of me. And frankly, I have not been giving myself enough credit lately. I want to give myself credit for being flexible. This is me doing a 180.
For real.
For real. So this guy sends a picture. I wish I could show you this picture. I'm going to describe this picture to you. It's incredible. Dear Jim, here's a pic of a man's wallet. Thanks. Jim in Reading. You know, substitute man's game with man's wallet. Let me lay this out to the best of my knowledge. Now I'm looking right at a picture of this. It's incredible.
Man's game, bitch.
Hey, Jim, first of all, props, man. Big ups. This is a brilliant picture. It's a picture of a black wallet that snaps shut. All right, so it's got snaps on all four corners. It appears to have a Harley Davidson insignia. So my man's got a hog for sure. He's got the wallet opened up. And on the inside, he has three perfectly crisp $100 bills. I think three, maybe four, but probably three. Perfect. Like perfectly minted. The kind that if you were to drop this on somebody in a drugstore or a restaurant, they'd get out their little highlighter, they'd run their streak over it, and they'd hold it up, and they'd be looking at it. Like, is that real? Player, right? Is that player enough? Do you know what he has positioned perfectly under Ben Franklin? A package of Trojan bearskins. That's right. Condoms. In his wallet, of course. And then I'm trying to see what kind of plastic he's got to go along with his plastic. He's got a Costco card, it would appear. I can't tell what the other things are. But that quote is a pick of a man's wallet. And you know what? It's got me rethinking this whole game now. That's pretty badass. That's pretty player. That's really player. That's really player. In fact, I'm not sure I can pull that off, Jim. Way to be. The picture's incredible, too. Hey, Rome, Matt and Van will never win the smack off. No voice inflection in his takes. Not a shred of sports. I bet he has ugly tats, a man bun, and wears skinny jeans like every Canuck weirdo. Mike and Snowbird. Hey, Mike, this dude's got way more game than you're giving him credit for. Let's see here. Marie in Denver is in. Player profiles. Wow. Sarah Tia's delivery. Dan in Denver. Look out, man. He will blister you. And Matt and Van. Matt is the grenade thrower. I can't wait. Hashtag SmackOff27. Bella B is in. She tweets, that baseball player throwing up must have heard a Sarah T call. Lady Clone on Lady Clone Crime.
More Lady Clone.
We had some of that yesterday, and it got pretty vicious. Jimmy, this new rule seems like it's going to put the umps in an awkward situation by having to check the pitchers after every inning. I think I can help with this by checking their right-hand arm man. Yours, his silly rabbit.
I'm Mr. Sterling's right-hand arm man. I'm Mr. Sterling everything. I'm his confidant, his best friend, his silly rabbit.
His what?
His silly rabbit.
His silly rabbit?
Yes.
Is that what he calls you?
No.
That's
I call myself.
You don't like that car. I don't like that. Hey, you weirdo. Not a very good car. There's no self-glossing. She self-glossed herself, his silly rabbit.
His silly rabbit.
After calling herself his right-hand arm man.
And Mr. Sterling's
that also
right
a self-gloss.
Man.
No. Chris in Milwaukee redeemed himself with that. I love that Alvin, that's not a caller. That's just like an interview soundbite that he dropped the hammer for self-gloss on an interview soundbite, Alvy.
His silly rabbit.
His what?
His silly rabbit.
His silly rabbit?
Yes.
Is that what he calls you?
No.
That's
I call myself.
Right there, that's what I call myself.
No.
See, if he called her that, we would have allowed it.
Not a very good call.
And if he did call her that, that'd be really weird. Hey, Mr. Sterling, who's that? My silly rabbit. But she's self-glossed, so she got run. Hey, Rome. The MLB is, quote, punishing players by sending them on a paid vacation. What a terrible look. Regards NBA coaches wearing sweatsuits. Geoff and Lincoln. No, Geoff, that's not a terrible look. That's a terrible take, as is the case with most of yours. Hey, Rome, no need for licorice on the mound. Just work some liquor in the bullpen before you hit the mound. Worked great for me. Regards, Rob Beck, JP in Riverside. I miss my dude, Rob Beck. Okay, let's see. What do we have in the way of phone calls? Let's go to Salt Lake City, Matt. Actually, let's go to Memphis instead. John in Memphis. Sorry about that. John, what's up?
Hey, John. Hey, JR, my guy. What's up, man?
What's up, dude?
Fifth or sixth time, long time, wallet carrier, non-rubber bander, ears full of bills, burrito smasher, non-smack-off participant, obviously. You clearly don't have a crew of ass-kickers behind that glass. Anyway, I wanted to talk about that Bryson situation. I can't get over it. Who wouldn't want to be paired up with their arch rival, especially after the publicity where he purposefully pissed off Brooks walking right behind his interview? He's got the ultimate eyes on me situation, and you decline? I don't get it. Elkington nicknames him Science, the mad scientist, really? Let's see some elixirs, my guy. You pillow, you ottoman, you ball of my cat's bluff. Newton, Hawking, and Kanye think this is lame as hell. Adam Hawk is for sure jealous of this dude's hater hipsterness. Name another great player in sports history that would hide in a box when faced with their rival. And, bro, before I go, I just want to say to Left, because I know the smack-off's coming up, people used to genuinely like Dane Cook as well, man. It sucks. Have a good one. Peace.
Dude, John in Memphis bringing some heat. There's some speculation that Bryson was offered the opportunity to be paired up with Brooks Koepka and at the U.S. Open at Torrey this week and declined. I don't know if that's true or not. His camp says that's not true. The Rome camp is saying we want this worse than anything. It would be the best thing ever. Another good day. Smack off season. Good news, bad news. Smack off season has been great. Bad news, it's a short season. You really are running out of time. Step it up. Get in here tomorrow. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. They're close, they're convenient, they're known for guaranteed everyday low prices, excellent customer service from the professional parts people that you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. My thanks to Bruce Feldman, Stephanie Epstein, Sam Amick. Clones are doing nicely. Well done, the XR4 Ti. Have a great day. Thank you for listening. See you tomorrow. We're out.